So today we are blessed once again by Srila Prabhupada and his purports. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 23, Text Number 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Indrik Griham Tat Pashyantim Na Atipritena Chaitasa Sarvabhuta Ashaya Abhigya Pravochat Kardama Svayam Idrigriham Tapashyantim Atipritena Chaitasa Sarabhutashaya Bhigya Tavachat Kadamasvayam Idrigriham Tat Pashyantim Natipritena Chaitasa Sarabhutashaya Bhigya Tavachat Kadamasvayam Idrik, such, Griham, house, tut, that, Pashyantim, looking at, na atipratena, not much pleased, chetasa, with a heart, sarvabhuta, of everyone, Ashaya Abhigya, understanding the heart, Pravochat, he addressed Kardama, Kardama, Svayam, personally. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When he saw Devahuti looking at the gigantic, opulent palace, with a displeased heart, Kardama Muni could understand her feelings because he could study the heart of anyone. Thus he personally addressed his wife as follows. Purport. Devahuti had spent a long time in the hermitage, not taking much care of her body. She was covered with dirt and her clothing was not very nice. Kardama Muni was surprised that he could produce such a palace, and similarly his wife, Devahuti, was also astonished. How could she live in that opulent palace? Kardama Muni could understand her astonishment, and thus he spoke as follows. Vandeha. Shri Guru, Shri Jata Padakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gaurabani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashcharya Deshatarine. So, Devahuti is seeing how beautiful, how wonderful, how opulent this palace is, but how dirty I am. I'm muchi as anything. How could I possibly go into that palace in this condition? So, Kardamuni could understand, and you will be seeing in the classes coming up Monday, Tuesday, etc., how he adjusts for this situation. As far as our position goes, here we are wanting to enter into the pure spiritual world, but yet our hearts are contaminated with lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. So how can we enter the spiritual world in such a dirty state? Well, we'll see how Devahuti, she was very elaborately bathed and dressed in fine clothes. Everything was, her beauty, her natural physical beauty was restored. So she could enter the palace having the same sort of beauty as the palace had. So in a similar way, if we want to enter that spiritual atmosphere, we cannot hold on to our material contamination. We have to become spiritualized. You see, this process of Krishna consciousness is a process of spiritualizing the self. Of course, the self by its very nature is purely spiritual. But at the present moment, that self is completely contaminated. Ever since the living entity had manifested the foolish desire to want to lord it over, was actually the property of the Lord, the living entity has become more and more polluted and contaminated in his attempt to enjoy separately from the Lord. So, the bona fide spiritual master is very kind. He comes to those who are contaminated. He brings to them the purifying process of bhakti yoga or Krishna consciousness to bring them out of that dirty state and bring them back to the natural clean state. The mind is compared to a mirror. If a mirror is dirty, you cannot see a reflection in the mirror, isn't it? So the mirror has to be clean. If you want to see a reflection, you have to clean the mirror. So the mind is compared to a dirty mirror. In this process of chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, cleanses the mirror of the mind. So we have to take this process very seriously, not just, casually, but take it very seriously. This is my mission in life, is to become a pure devotee. It's not a hobby, it's my life and soul. To awaken the dormant Krishna consciousness within my heart by taking shelter of Guru and Krishna, following in the footsteps of the great Mahajanas. Mahajano yena gatastapanta. This is a pathway which has been chalked out by the great Acharyas. Here we are in the dark, deep, dense forest of Kali. It's a overwhelmingly dark wilderness. But there's a pathway out of this wilderness back to our original home, and that trail has been blazed by the great Acharyas. It's called Acharya Marg. So we have to follow the pathway of these great Acharyas. They will take us out of this position we're in now, completely overwhelmed by bodily consciousness, totally polluted by all these contaminating factors. These great Acharyas will take us back to our original identity. They will teach us how to become fully absorbed 24 hours a day in Krishna's service. Actually, you don't have to wait to go back to Godhead to be a liberated soul. If you will simply fully engage yourself in devotional service right now, completely dovetailed, thoughts, words, and deeds, fully absorbed in Krishna's service. Right now, you're already a liberated soul. Right here in Melbourne, you'll be a liberated soul. You just have to become disinterested in material sense gratification and have the only one desire, that is to please my guru and to please Krishna. Some people say, well, girl, he isn't really that important, you know. It's not like you're a little kid, your mother holds your hand, and when you grow up, you don't need to hold your mother's hand anymore. So guru is not really that important. Some people say that, but why do we worship Prabhupada every day? Why would Prabhupada have a Singravastakam every day? Why did Prabhupada always feel dependent on the mercy of his spiritual master? Prabhupada is the highest level Paramahamsa, Mahabhagavat, but he felt totally dependent on his spiritual master at every step. So this idea that, well, you know, your guru is only in the beginning, you know, when you're just starting off, you need a guru, and after that you can, you know, you climb up the ladder, you get on the branch, and then you kick away the ladder. This is completely bogus philosophy. The guru is not required. At a certain point, you don't need a guru. The guru is essential at every step of the way. That's why Krishna says, Yeme bhakta jana aparta, no me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, teme bhakta tamamata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas, he is not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee, you see. So that is a permanent principle, it's not a temporary principle. We have to learn how to become the devotee of the devotee, that is our Guru Maharaj and also the Vaishnavas in general. This is my Narottam Das Thakur sings, Anande Balohadi Vajavrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Manjayaman. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna, worship that wonderful holy Dham of Vrindavan, and always remember the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. So, actually all the Vaishnavas are our Gurus. They are our Siksha Gurus because they are showing us by their examples how to be a devotee of Krishna. So we take inspiration and from all the devotees. Prabhupada very much appreciated the devotion of his disciples. Even some simple devotee. Big position is not required. My godbrother, Sannyasi godbrother, he relates one story. He was there in Los Angeles with Prabhupada. He would come every day for a darshan with Prabhupada. Prabhupada was interested, oh, how you're preaching as a sannyasi. And he felt very good. Oh, Prabhupada is recognizing me. I'm a sannyasi, I'm preaching, and my Guru Maharaj appreciates it. He was feeling really good. Oh, yeah. And then one day, there was some Brahmacharini, and she was just making the flower arrangement on Prabhupada's desk. Prabhupada totally absorbed himself in seeing how this simple Brahmacharini was making this floral arrangement on his desk. He completely ignored the sannyasi. Totally forgot about the sannyasi, just seeing how nicely this Brahmacharini was making the flower arrangements. So it doesn't matter what is your position. You can be a big leader or just a simple pujari or a simple sweeper cleaning the temple. It doesn't matter what the position. What really counts is your devotion. What really counts is your devotion. Some people think, well, making advancement at ISKCON means moving up the corporate ladder. Well, temple president, regional secretary, GBC, upwardly mobile. I got to be an ISKCON yuppie, moving up the corporate ladder, you see. I actually knew one godbrother, he was in that mood, and he did it. He was temple president, and he became GBC. And then he left ISKCON after that. So he left because his motivation was material. He wanted some position. He wanted name and fame, you see. So the proper mood is, I simply want to serve my spiritual master and serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. That's my only desire. In whatever capacity, I can be a leader, a follower, it doesn't matter. Just let me always be absorbed in awakening my Krishna consciousness and in engaging in activities to help this Krishna consciousness movement become successful so that it can take over the whole world as soon as possible. See, this is the consciousness. Just humble servant. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pray. You see? Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Nudasa. So we have to follow this wonderful teaching of Gauranga. The more you become the servant of the servant of the servant, that's how you become exalted. That's how you become advanced. The more you become humble, that's how you become more and more advanced. So we have to learn this philosophy from those who are actually presenting it as it is. We sometimes see the devotees distort the teachings of Prabhupada. Somebody told one of my students, actually, whatever you do, don't remember your guru at the time of death. Can you imagine? I said, whatever you do, do not remember your guru at the time of death, because he might be preaching in hell, and then you'll have to go to hell. You see? But my mood is, well, if Prabhupada's preaching in hell, I'll go to hell and preach along with Prabhupada. You see what I'm saying? That's the mood for a disciple. He doesn't care for heaven or hell. He just wants to be with his service guru, that's all. This is the mood, you see. I'm willing to go anywhere that Prabhupada wants me to go. I'll take birth after birth in material world. I don't care. I just want to do what Prabhupada wants me to do. I just want to push forward this movement, that's all. You see. So I remember when I joined, we were told that Vishnu Dhammaraj said the perfection of his life would be to sitting and chanting japa and meditating on Prabhupada by the time of death. If one can be chanting Hare Krishna, remembering one's spiritual master at the time of death, that is the perfection of one's existence. You see? So we have to know things not by, you know, somebody's opinion. We have the authoritative books of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. That's how we have to understand things. The books are the basis. Even Prabhupada told us, I remember that, sometimes we would hear where Prabhupada said, you know, you can only have 7 chickpeas for breakfast, and if you have more than that, you'll fall down into lust. That was one of those Prabhupada said they used to enforce when I was a brahmachari. I remember, Prabhu, you only get 7 chickpeas, because 8, you'll fall down. Prabhupada said, there were so many Prabhupada saids, but then I was so happy, one letter came out, Prabhupada said, there's so many things. Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that, so many false things. Prabhupada confirmed all this stuff was going around the name of Prabhupada says. Read the books. Yes. Please read these books. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. One of my students, she just wrote me, she says, well, there's a Chaitanya Charitamrita, but just in the storyline by somebody who's put out that book. Should I read that or not? Actually, we should read Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita with the purports. We're not interested just in the storyline. We want to know Prabhupada's purports. Because Prabhupada's purports are what give us access to the transcendental world. It's by the mercy of the spiritual master and the mercy of Krishna that the seed of bhakti enters into the heart. You see? That's stated like that. After Brahmanda Brahmite Konna Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. After wandering in the universe from the higher planets to the lower planets, trying to enjoy in so many ways through the 8,400,000 species, one living entity who is indeed most fortunate gets by the combined mercy of Guru and Krishna the seed of bhakti within his heart. Bhakti Lata Bij. So, it's a combined mercy of Guru and Krishna. That's the key to understand. It's by the combined mercy of Guru and Krishna, we get the seed of bhakti. It's by the combined mercy of Guru and Krishna, we advance on the path of bhakti. It's by the combined mercy of Guru and Krishna that we're able to get out of this material world and regain our original identities in the transcendental kingdom of God. If there's any questions, we can pass them, have them forward now. Okay, questions.
I understand that envy is not good, but my mind has started feeling envy from a few devotees. Please help.
Well, there is transcendental envy, as I mentioned the other day.
If you see some devotee is doing really nice service, you can try to learn from that devotee, be inspired. Just like, say, let's say somebody's really a really good madanga player, right? They can really play that madanga, you see. And think, yeah, but they must be really puffed up.
See, that's envy.
But the real thing is, wow, they really play good. I should learn how to, you know. That's the proper utilization of envy is like that. See, wow, maybe I can also learn. That's the way to, if you see, that's spiritual envy, Prabhupada told me. As far as mundane envy, I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, you have to just give it up. Doesn't make any sense. Here's the thing. Krishna, you have to have faith in Krishna. Krishna is arranging for you personally. He's personally arranging for you the best possible facility to go back to home, back to Godhead. It's not that that somebody else's position will be a better facility for you. No. You have the very best facility for your situation and your karma, according to your house order, a brahmachari, a sannyasi, a vanaprastha, whatever you may be, a pujari, a guru, whatever your position may be. Krishna has put you in that position, which is the most conducive for you to get out of this material world as soon as possible. So you don't, why be envious of someone else? It's like the cow, you know, sticking their head through the fence to eat the grass on the other side. Doesn't make any sense. The grass is greener on the other side of the fence. You think, well, somebody else has a better position than me. Someone else is in a better situation than me. No. You are in the very best position for your getting out of the material world right now. Take your position right now and properly utilize it for Krishna. Envy is insane. It's insane to be envious. While doing the service, I don't have the feeling that I'm doing it for Krishna. My consciousness is I'm doing a pious work. Well, you know you have this problem. You have to remind yourself, why am I doing this? Now you know you have this problem. Now you can correct yourself. My faith is always shaking. How can I have firm faith? In the beginning, faith is shaky. But as you, There's a preliminary faith, that's called shraddha, and it's a little shaky. Preliminary faith. There's nishtha, which is firm faith, which is solid faith. So how do you get from shraddha to nishtha? That process is by associating sadhu sangha, associating with devotees, by bhajana kriya, taking initiation, becoming fully obedient to your spiritual master, and then working very diligently to get rid of the lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy, and fear, which has been polluting your heart since time immemorial. By doing through taking shelter of the holy name and all in the process. So that's how your faith will become solid. Even after getting answers to my questions, I'm asking some questions, not getting fully satisfied. Well, that's not a question. I was taught by Vishnujan Swami very wisely. He said, continue inquiring until your intelligence is fully satisfied. And I was sometimes bewildered to hear certain points of the philosophy in the beginning. I was told, you have to accept the spiritual master as good as God. And I went, what? A human being as good as God? How is that possible? Then I thought about it. Well, Prabhupada is purely representing Krishna with his every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances. So he is a pure representative of God. Coming in contact with him is as good as coming in contact with God. So I realized it. So you need to, if something doesn't make sense to you, you have to think about it, pray about it, study about it, and inquire about it. You need to get all of your doubts erased. It's very important. I am newly married. I don't know where my time goes. You're enamored by puppy love, you see. So you've got to become a little sober and realize this marriage is all right, it's okay. It's part of the Vedic system to take married life. But I have to put Krishna in the center of my heart, not this marriage.
What should I do when my parents and brothers are trying to pull me away from Krishna consciousness, avoid their association?
Asatamgatyag.
As much as possible, stay away from them. If you show a little distance, you may be more respected on them. If you're just like a puppy dog under their influence, they'll continue to, mess around with your faith. If you show a little detachment, you see. I know in my case, I had actually left home. And, when I was living at home, and I was there under their terms, right? But when I left, I abandoned the home. I completely abandoned the relationship. And then I came back, now I was on my terms. You see what I'm saying? It was on my terms. And they were just happy to have me back. Well, it's okay, whatever you're into, we're just happy to have you back. You see? So if you show some strength, then you can have the relationship on your terms, not their terms. My mind is always attracted to girls in the temple. It does not let me think that these girls are for Krishna's enjoyment. Well, stop looking at them. Prabhupada told me in a letter. He said, it's a letter I got when I was a brahmachari. He said, actually, a brahmachari should never see the face of a woman. But in your country, it's a little difficult. So as much as possible, don't look at them. Because if that looking at them is... If Cupid is immediately saying, oh, just see, let me get him now. He's relishing this young girl's beauty. Let me zap him with some arrows, you see. You got to be detached.
My question
is, yeah?
Do we come to look at the girls or to Krishna?
Well, do we come to look at the girls at Krishna? We're here to look at Krishna. Actually, Krishna is more beautiful than all the girls in the world put together. You know? So you just got to fall in love with Krishna. If you're Krishna conscious, you can look. Bhagavad said, I can go into a room full of naked women and not be agitated. Can you imagine? Bhagavad said. So if you're actually fixed in Krishna conscious, you can see a girl and without getting attracted by her. You can just say, oh, this, she is for Krishna. She's, let me engage her in Krishna service. You see. Prabhupada one time said in the 26th Second Avenue, he said, collect all the beautiful girls and give them to Krishna. So we're doing that here. We're collecting all these beautiful girls, you see. Give him to Krishna. Can you please speak in detail about the glories of Mangal Arati? Actually, I don't need to speak. Just look at the ninth prayer written by the author of the Gavastakam, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The ninth prayer says, anyone who chants this prayer during the Brahma Muhurta hour will, upon the time of death, achieve the direct service of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. So what do you want at the time of death, Prabhu? Want to take birth again, Manaji? What do you want? Would you like to wake up in Goloka Vrindavan? Well, you better have Mangal Arati every day at the temple or at home, at least have a little offer some incense and a flower and sing their Gavastakam prayers at home on your home altar. Everyone should sing Gavastakam every day. Okay. What is Krishna consciousness? It's to be conscious of Krishna. Are we able to remember Krishna all the time? Certainly we're all able to do that. But whether we're doing it or not, it's another matter. We're all capable of doing that. Chanting is helping me to clear my consciousness. Jai. It's a fact. Why scriptures have a very critical explanation about sex enjoyment? Because it is the binding knot, the Hriday Granthi. It's sex, the desire, that's keeping us in the cycle of birth and death, so you have to detach yourself from sex desire. Whereas we see that it has enjoyment in it, pleasing. It's the most enjoyable thing in the material world. Of all the material pleasures, Maitun Adi, Bhagavatam says. Maitun means sexual intercourse. Adi means
original principle. The original yan matanadi sukham. The original, the number one or original principle of enjoyment is sexual intercourse. Therefore, one has to detach oneself from it. Even as a householder, you should not be having sex at all with your wife, except for procreation, according to regulated principles. Otherwise, you should be strict brahmachari, even as a householder. Prabhupada makes this very clear in his books and his letters. How to know if I and devotees around me are sincerely following pure devotional service? Well, just worry about yourself, Prabhu. because if you're purely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, Krishna will give you the intelligence. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam tadami buddha yogam tam yenam upayanti de. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the intelligence, you see. So if you yourself are purely serving Krishna to the best of your ability, then you will have he will give you the ability to guide others how they can also do so. The main thing is you put yourself in that mood of pure devotional service. You should be constantly begging Krishna, my dear Lord, please bless me. I can give up all my nonsense and simply become your pure devotee. You should be praying like that at every minute. You see what I'm saying? You have to intensely desire pure devotional service within your heart. It says depend on Guru and Krishna, but then does it mean depend on devotees, disciples of the Guru? Yes. We also depend on Vaishnavas because by their association we become Krishna conscious. They help us to be better disciples of our spiritual master. It says satisfying devotees, but I can't satisfy all devotees around me. Just satisfy Guru and Krishna and all the sincere devotees who are properly situated. We very much appreciate your mood. Why do I feel more connected with Krishna when I have a problem in my life? That's natural. That's why Kunti is praying to always have problems. It's natural. When you're in difficulty, you will turn to Krishna. So when things are going bad, that's when you're the most fortunate person. Things are really bad. That's the greatest fortune. Learn how to see it in this way, and you'll never experience anything bad ever again. And just everything will be good. When you see the bad is good, then the good will be good, and the bad will also be good. You want to answer any of these questions today? You'd like to?
Thinking about this
okay.
Don't we realize this material world is bad? So shouldn't we think of Krishna more than the bad, the difficulties come on me?
Are you making a point or are you asking me to answer a question? Are you asking me a question?
The material world itself is difficult and bad. So we have to struggle for existence. So why we wait for the difficulty that certain time difficulty comes, we come to Krishna? Why not we do it?
In other words, if we're thinking, that's a very good point. Thinking, well, we should always realize we're in a bad situation instead of being enamored by thinking it's very wonderful. Just like that, remember the that question of Yamaraj asked Maharaj Yudhisthira, what is the most wonderful thing in this world? Ahani ahani bhutani ganchanti yamalyam shesha sharamishchami kim mascharya matahapadam. At every moment, countless numbers of people are being dragged by Yamaraj to the court of death. But those who are remaining here, they think, oh, I'm going to live here a long time. There's nothing more wonderful than this. So actually, we're all in a very bad situation. We're all on death row. We're on the verge. Every one of us right now is on the verge of death. So we have to understand we're all in a predicament right now. We're in Marcha Loka. It's like being in a prison and being on death row, just waiting for your term to be executed. So we're all in a bad position. You have to realize, you think I'm not in a bad position, you're always in a bad position in this material world. So become sober and realize you're in a very bad situation now. You're in a material body, you're identifying with it, death is coming. So you have to come to the transcendental platform and go get beyond all of this.
Krishna is telling us in Bhagavad Gita, mm-hmm. It's dukkha land.
Dukalayam Mashashvatam. It's simply a place of misery. There's actually no happiness in this material world. It's only an illusion of happiness. Dukalayam, it's called. Welcome to Dukalayam, the place of misery. How to become the devotee of the devotee? By service, by love. To do the above question, we have to be very humble. But I don't have so much humility. Well, to do it, and the humility will come. Anytime you want to add something, just jump, just, you know. I can ask, you want me to put questions directly to you? All right. Okay. If someone takes a vow and not fulfills it, what will happen? They will suffer. A Vaishnava keeps his word. Prabhupada says one who does not keep his word is not a human being, he's an animal. So somebody who makes a vow and doesn't keep it, they're in a very unhappy, miserable position. To keep your word, that makes you a human being. Can an initiated and practicing devotee, if he repeatedly going through a hardship, perform other devotional pujas or solutions suggested by astrologers for mitigating such problems? It's a useless waste of time. Just come to pure devotion. Just become more pure in your practice. That's all you need. These astrologers nowadays are not that qualified anyway to know properly what's going on. Formerly they were, but nowadays this astrological science is not precise. These astrologers don't have the precise knowledge that they once had. Not there. And besides that, astrology means within the influence of the stars are the demigods, the predominating deities of the planets, which means under the influence of the three modes of nature. So instead of trying to manipulate your situation within the three modes of nature, just come to the transcendental platform beyond the modes of nature by going deeper into Krishna consciousness. That will solve your problems, not astrological adjustments. Translation?
One has to just tolerate, because these are going to come in summer and winter season and go away and be Krishna conscious. Mm.
What should we do to manage our spiritual life and material life? Because when you're in the temple, we don't want to go back to the material world, nor home. This is described in the Isha Upanishad, Vidyam cha vidyam yashtad vidyam bayam saha. One who knows how to balance the pathway of ignorance and knowledge can achieve the full blessings of immortality. So you have to take your material side and you have to dovetail it in the service of Krishna. If you have a home, you should make your home into an ashram, a place of spiritual cultivation. That way when you go to work to maintain your home and your family at the home, you're actually maintaining a Krishna conscious ashram. And you should give as much money as you can to ISKCON and the ISKCON preachers. And that's also the very, very important principle. By engaging your work directly in Krishna's service, you see, that purifies it. And then, so you have to see that every penny of what you earn in your job is actually helping Krishna consciousness at the temple and at your home. And then you'll be okay. And then when you go to work, you'll see the energy of Krishna. Because of familiarity, I have started committing offenses to senior devotees. Obeisances, obeisances, obeisances. In the nectar of instruction, prajapa is one of the impediments for our spiritual life. But why, when a devotee commits a mistake, everyone starts judging that person has fallen down?
Do we have the right to judge someone or leave it to Krishna? Well, there's what kind of fault-finding mentality, always wanting to put yourself up by putting others down. That's very bad. That's a very bad thing. Instead of appreciating the good of the other devotees, you want to see the faults of the other devotees. You just want to puff yourself up more and more. Yes, I'm very advanced because this devotee did this, this devotee said that, blah, 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 blah. This is very bad. However, on the other hand, if one is actually properly fixed in Krishna consciousness and sincerely striving for pure devotion every day at every minute with every thought, word, and deed in all times, place, and circumstances, and he sees others are having difficulty, he will compassionately try to help them over their faults. It's not judgmentalism. It's compassion. So just like it's stated, the spiritual master does not chastise his disciples. He's their enemy. So there is such a thing as senior devotees correcting the junior devotees, seeing their faults. It's not judgmentalism, it's compassion. So it can be bad or it can be a good thing too. Is it? It could be, you know, holier than thou, one-upmanship, or it could be compassion. It depends on the motive.
Not worthy.
Huh?
Gossiping around is not necessary.
Yeah, going around and blabbing about this and that, that's very bad.
When that happens.
Yeah, don't be a gossip. Don't be the temple gossip. Gossiper. How can I balance my spiritual and material life? I'm recently in business. Just what I said a minute ago about the home and life and temple. As an Uttama Adhikari, one should not differentiate between human beings. But probably the Uttama Adhikari, for the sake of preaching, does differentiate. Although within his heart, he sees everyone equally absorbed in serving Krishna in different ways. Externally, he acts as a Madhyama Adhikari for the sake of preaching. Is it right to avoid a neophyte devotee and give priority only to senior devotee? No. The duty is not to, if someone is offensive, yes, you should avoid them. Just like one devotee was telling my disciples that you don't need to have a guru, you know, once you're a little advanced, you can forget about your spiritual master. I told them to avoid that. Don't hear from such a person. Someone who is envious and is criticizing, trying to break the guru, the faith of the disciples and their spiritual master, they should be avoided, strictly avoided. Don't hear from them. Don't associate with them. Keep them in the distance, you see. But as far as devotees in general, neophyte devotees, you should give them your association. You should be kind upon the neophyte devotees and help them to advance in Krishna consciousness. Is liberation really so simple? Absolutely. I have the desire to serve Guru and Krishna, but I have so many desires. However, I wish to dovetail them in the service of Guru and Krishna. Does that make me liberated? Well, it could be. If you're perfectly dovetailing everything in Krishna's service, you are liberated. Just like maybe one disciple is very good at making money, and he wants to make a lot of money to support, to help him serve his spiritual master and to serve his country. You see, that's a liberated platform. You know, he's busy making money, doing all kinds of business deals, you see, to make money. But that's liberated, because he's offering it to the spiritual master and to ISKCON. What is the stand of ISKCON regarding feminism? We can say, you know, sexism, racism, all these different isms, they're all bodily consciousness, you see. Feminism, what about masculinism, you see? Sexism, racism, all these isms are based on a false concept of the body. As soon as you come to the spiritual platform, all these isms go away. Pandita samadarshinaha. Now, externally, we make some distinction. But spiritually, there's no distinction. Why some devotees, some senior devotees are so arrogant? Why are you so arrogant? Someone who's arrogant, well, they're not really a senior devotee. Someone is overwhelmed with arrogance,
haughtiness or false pride, they're not really a senior devotee. They may be senior in terms of years, but they're not senior in terms of consciousness. A real senior devotee is very, very humble. Very, very humble. That's the real meaning of senior devotee. Although one may act in a very strong way to correct and point out the faults in the junior devotees, that doesn't mean he's arrogant. He's doing his duty. What is our relationship with our guru when we go back to Goloka? Prabhupada says, the spiritual master lives forever by his instructions and the disciple lives with him. This is in the end, right there in the beginning, first page of the Bhagavatam. So when you go back to Gaudiya, you recognize your spiritual master. You have a certain rasa with Krishna, he has a rasa. You recognize, oh, my Guru Maharaj. You'll offer your obeisances. He's eternally your spiritual master. What is the difference between preaching as it is and preaching according to time, place, and circumstance? There's no difference. We preach as it is, presenting it, the philosophy, exactly as it is, according to time, place, and circumstance. Just like I talk about Krishna a lot. Last night I gave a lecture at the Urban Yoga Center. I presented the same philosophy, but I talked about God. You see? More about God. And I mentioned, well, there's Krishna, Allah, Jehovah. I talked about spirituality, but it was the same philosophy, just in a different way. So we always present the same philosophy, although the language may be different. There are sometimes lectures I've seen of Prabhupada reading it, preaching in certain areas. He didn't even mention the name Krishna once. He said God. So it depends on the audience. You have to see, how can I help these people to move forward in their understanding of who they are and what is God and what is my relationship with God. So that you keep it as it is, but you have to be compassionately presenting it in such a way that they can understand and appreciate it. How the spiritual world looks like? Well, why don't you go and find out? Do all the demigods live there once they go back to Godhead? How the demigods said they also have, they're all devotees like everybody else in the spiritual world. Actually, you were a demigod in a previous lifetime. We've all been demigods. Prabhupada says the first birth of the jiva when he falls in the material world is Lord Brahma. So there's a whole room full of people who were Lord Brahmas in the past. You were Lord Brahma. You were Lord of an entire universe when you first fell in the spirit. According to Prabhupada's purport, you were Lord Brahma. You had your own universe. You know that? You had your own universe. So we've all fallen down. You said we weren't satisfied being Brahma. Well, maybe it's better to be Indra. Maybe it's better to be this. And then finally, maybe it's better to be a hog. So we tried everything and we're still frustrated. So now you go back to home, back to Godhead. Actually, everybody in the spiritual world who fell down had their time to be demigods in the material world. Okay. What is the position of Kardama Muni and Devahuti in the spiritual world? Well, find out. Go back to Godhead and find out. If a grihastha has a problem maintaining household life, then it's all right for him to leave it. No, you can't abandon your wife and kids. You have your duty. You have to do whatever is needful to maintain them. After coming to Krishna consciousness, I do not have any interest pursuing my dreams to be rich or successful. Is it a good thing? Why don't you make ISKCON rich and successful then? You have that tendency, riches and success. Make ISKCON rich and successful. That will be your success. How to react when the devotee girl is... What? When the devotee girl is approaching to herself? That doesn't make any sense. Why Lord Krishna has a peacock feather in his head? Because Krishna really likes that peacock feather. Please tell us about the pastimes of Lord Krishna with peacocks. Peacock Lila. Hmm.
Well, I know we had, I know in Miami we had very nice Bishadam distribution in Peacock Park. That's a pastime of Krishna in the Peacock Park, you see. I don't know any specific peacock leelas, but they must be really sublime. I mean, every peacock has his own particular relationship with Krishna. There's actually unlimited peacocks in the spiritual world. You know that? Unlimited peacocks. And each one of them is unique. Krishna can not all just lump together all the generic, the peacock. No, every peacock has his own individual personality, and Krishna recognizes each peacock individually and has his own special relationship with each and every peacock. In fact, you could be a peacock in the spiritual world. So go back to Godhead and you can find out more about the peacock leelas. Tell us any good pastime of Lord Ram. They're all good. I am a student new to Australia. How does taking the Krishna consciousness help me to focus on my goals? Well, it depends on your goals. If your goal is to become a pure devotee of Krishna, that should be your goal. Now, for livelihood, yes. You can study in the university. Even in Pune, they have a very nice program for making brahmacharis. They go to the university campuses and make devotees. But they require all the boys to stay in school, even though they want to drop out and join the brahmacharya ashram. They say, you know, you have to stay in school because otherwise the campus, if they drop out, the campus won't let them come to the school anymore. So all the boys, they want to join, they have to stay and finish their degrees. And then after graduating, they have to work for a year or two to pay off their student loans, from the student tuition fees, to pay their parents back. So that's the program in Pune. Even the brahmacharis have to finish their degrees and have to work for a year or two to pay off their student tuition fees. So these studies can actually, Prabhupada actually appreciated college students because they had some abilities, material abilities that can be very nicely used for Krishna. So you do learn things. You learn how to write, you learn how to be a better writer, you learn different skills, so take advantage of it because this can be used in Krishna's service. And also for earning a livelihood. So if you want to be a grihastha, you need to have a livelihood so you can earn your, with least amount of endeavor, you can learn a good livelihood and support your Krishna conscious life nicely and give nice generous donations to the temple. So that's okay. Finish your studies. Excel in your studies. I know my godbrother, one of my guru godbrothers, is a house sweater also, or Vanaprastha, more accurately. What's his name? Virabahu Prabhu. He and his wife were studying, they were science students in the university, and they decided to become devotees, but they finished their degree just for the sake of accomplishing it. And they both finished their degrees, and they became full-time preachers of Krishna consciousness. So there's Prabhupada would sometimes tell the devotees to finish their degrees, even devotees living, Trivikram Swami, one of my guru godbrothers, he was a student, and he, living in the temple, he finished his degree. So there's something to actually take up something and do it nicely is one of the qualities of a devotee. Pride, taking me for a ride. How to get rid of it. Obeisances. I want to love Krishna. Can you please explain how to do it? Love means service. Absorb yourself in serving Krishna 24/7. That's love. In temple programs, children are memorizing verses without understanding the meanings. How beneficial is this? It's not very beneficial. They memorize the verse and they get up and they chant. Everybody applauds. And they feel very good. They got applauded for memorizing the verse. The children should know the meaning of the verse. I remember one little boy who was coming to my lectures. we never told him to memorize verses, but His father would bring him to every lecture. His little boy on his own, just by hearing the lectures, was automatically learning verses. There was one evening, the father and the little boy came with me on a preaching program. And the father and I were totally absorbed in the preaching program. The little boy was neglected. And somehow or other he was talking, I forget how, but he was talking with Guru Mata on the telephone. And he said, yes, I'm being... They're neglecting Rayama, but what can I say? Matra sparsha shtakonteya shitoshna sukaduka da. And he quoted a verse explaining the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress, and one has to tolerate them. A little six-year-old kid, you see, he knew the verse just by hearing the lectures. He could quote the verse and give with context and meaning. You see, so this is the way. The best thing is the children should hear lectures, learn the philosophy. And then when they learn verses, those verses will strengthen their comprehension of the philosophy. Not that they don't study the philosophy, they just memorize a verse like a parrot. Just like in Tavayuni, and we went to a remote farm there. They had a very remote farm in the far end of Tavayuni, and one of those islands in Fiji. And they had a parrot. And he would just go, Haribo, 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 with no comprehension, you see. So the kids just chant verses like Harry Ball the Parrot, and what's the value of it, you see? They should hear lectures and become masters of the philosophy. It's like, I see there's some boys here, you shouldn't be talking. You should be listening. I'm talking about you. You should be hearing and not just, should definitely not. You know what happened? When Prabhupada talked to someone during the class, Bhaktisiddhanta chastised him like anything. Bhaktisiddhanta heavily chastised Srila Prabhupada for talking in the middle of a Bhagavatam class. I didn't notice, but this is very nonsense thing. You should never do this. You should be hearing and learning and absorbing this philosophy. Okay. Help me refrain. How can we refrain people, stop people from eating beef? Give them prasadam. Prasadam is the higher taste. So our questions have run out. And you have something more you'd like to add, Devi, to what we've been saying? Okay. So we thank you all very much for coming. And we beg you, please take this process of developing pure bhakti very seriously. Don't take it as some part-time hobby. Take this as the number one goal of your life. That everything else is there, but it's peripheral. It's a sideline. My real business is to develop pure love of God within my heart, do everything I can to spread this movement for the benefit of the fallen souls of this world. Pure, like we sing every morning, Bahir Nasingo, Hridaye Nasinga. Nasinga within, Nasinga without. May I become fully Krishnaized or Nasringaized within, and then can we fully Krishnaize or Nasringaize this whole world around us by spreading this movement. So we thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.